Sitting my water bottle down.
Oh my god. That was pretty funny. It's so obsessive. It's so obsessive.
Oh, it's a fair-sized water bottle. It's more...
If you guys could see the size of this water bottle.
It's closer to...
Put your mic to your face, bro. What is this dinky, like, you got it, like, wonky sideways? Like,
I mean, it's
do you like it
thing.
Like that?
Yeah.
I'm more like cement. Is OCD as you are, I would expect that you to have it all, like, perfectly aligned with your
all
lips.
All I want is the mic close to my face.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Thrive Daily Podcast, a podcast for the 5%. We are all about that new mindset and new perspective, giving you the fuel you need to thrive on the daily. I am very, very excited about today's episode. I have a special guest with us today. This is episode 42, I believe, of the Thrive Daily Podcast.
Don't build me up too much. I'm not that special.
I'm not going to build you up too much. I'm going to hop right in. We actually have a time limit. We're going to start that watch, boys. Boy, right,
we're good.
We're going to try to stick to under 30 minutes because we have a lot of filming to do today. Hint, hint, which leads me perfectly into the segue, which is Taylor, introduce yourself. Tell me who you are, what you do, and we're going to hop right in.
Wow, you just throw it off on me, don't you? Introduce yourself. Cool. Well, I'm Taylor, you know, Taylor Martin.
Taylor Martin.
I've been doing YouTube stuff for like 7 years.
Wow.
Finally quit my job and did it full time last year. And
so you've been a full time YouTuber since last year?
Yeah. I think in about 2 months it'll be a year. So 10 months or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's fun sometimes. A lot of the time it's stressful. It never turns off.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yeah. I understand. So I want to know, like, how did you get started in YouTube? Like, initially, what was the thing that got you going?
Well, originally I'd never really made a video, and I got approached by a friend of mine, actually. So I was working for a company writing articles about cell phones and whatnot.
Right.
And I got basically poached by the company's biggest competitor, and he said he wanted to hire me for writing articles and
editorials. Who are you working with?
At the time, I was with Phone Dog.
Dude, I watched Phone Dog as like a freaking middle schooler.
Yeah, they're not really as prevalent as they used to be, but Pocket Now was their like direct competitor at the time.
Right.
And they said they wanted to hire me for the editorials that I wrote.
Okay.
And I guess it was day two of being on the job. They said, "Do you have a camera?" I said, "Sure." And they said, "Cool, make a video. You've got 2 days."
Wow.
I'm like, "Oh."
Have you ever made one? Like,
I'd made some rinky-dink videos. Like, I tried so hard. I was trying to do a one-take video for Phone Dog. Like, one take. No script. It was like 4 minutes.
Wow.
No breaks. Just no edits. Just
straight
through. And it took me like 9 hours to shoot it.
Are you serious?
I had no clue how to make a video. And I had a really bad camera at the time.
What were you rocking at that point?
Sony
NEX-C3. Put that camera. Put that mic up to your face more.
Sony NEX-C3. It feels so wrong because I'm so used to my mic.
See, that's the thing. Taylor's got this like bougie like boom mic that just kind of hovers. You don't have to like stay on the mic.
Four
like,
feet from my mouth.
Yeah, he's not used to.
I'm not used to being. But, all
okay, what were you rocking?
Close. Sony NEX-C3 was my first.
Never heard of it.
So it was actually like the precursor to the A6500.
Okay.
Or any of the other. Mirrorless. It was one of Sony's first mirrorless cameras, so it wasn't really bad at the time when I bought it. It was actually a pretty good camera,
okay.
Because this was back in 2009.
Wow,
you were still.
I was 8 years old. I was eight.
You were in diapers.
No, I was not. I still peed in the bed, but I still peed in the bed, but I didn't have to wear diapers.
But Pocket Now was like, "Hey, make a video. We want you to do like B-roll. We want you to make a nice voiceover video," which I'd never done.
Dude. And I guess there wasn't as much content out there either to like.
No, most of the people making videos at that time were over-the-shoulder, one-take videos.
Yeah.
And nothing was production value. It was just.
Yeah. There wasn't really. B-roll wasn't a thing at that point.
I mean, not
right?
on YouTube, it wasn't.
Yeah, right, right.
So I didn't know how to do it, and I had no guide or anything. They just said, "Figure it out."
Wow.
So I did, and man, just looking back at my old process, like right now, if I do a voiceover, I shoot all the B-roll I need. I write my script. I record my script, and I cut the footage to the voiceover. But
yeah,
then I would write my script out, and I would shoot the footage based on what I had in the script. I would edit the footage together, and then I would go over and record individual audio clips to match the video. I did everything 100% backwards, and I sent it to them, and they were like, that's a good start. We're not going to publish that one. Just try again.
Oh, my gosh.
And they said, we want you to be kind of one of our main video guys, so figure this out. Wow. And then, I mean, I was. Michael was still their primary guy. Jaime did their daily, the Pocking Out Daily, which is a daily news show. And I was just kind of the fill-in guy. And but it was really a sink or swim situation.
They saw you kind of becoming, they wanted you to become more of a like key player in that.
They had plans for me that I wasn't aware of when I signed the contract. And I mean, it was good. I made a lot of friends. I learned a lot. And that led me to the next gig, which led me to the next gig.
Right. So how long were you in the technology space? I guess
9 years.
9 years. So you had been making content doing
eight years.
You've been making like content on like voiceovers and doing like product review type stuff for really like coming up on a decade here pretty soon.
Yeah. So YouTube in and of itself, like my time with YouTube started 7 years ago, I guess. So I wrote for 2.5 years before I ever made a video.
Right.
But yeah.
And that's cool to see this progression too. Cause like, you started out writing for, which even, you know, back then writing was probably a little more prevalent. I mean, it still is, but really videos.
Who reads an article over watching a short video?
Right. Especially in 2019. So like, it's so cool though to see your progression. Like you started writing with them and they probably paid you next to nothing, I'm sure.
Actually, no. I mean, it was a...
They paid you good?
Back then. I mean, when I first started, I was...
Well, probably good for, at the like... What it was
a college dropout.
Ooh, wait, what were we talking about? You dropped out of college?
Yeah.
Dude.
To pursue a career in tech writing.
Dude.
So I was in school.
Oh my gosh.
For, originally engineering, then I switched to computer science.
Okay.
And I was doing that. I worked at Best Buy. I worked at my stepdad's bowling center, and I wrote online for Phone Dog all at once.
Wow.
With 17 credit hours. So I was busy. I've always been a busy person.
So during college, you were still doing...
I had three
that.
Jobs.
Okay. What...
And I worked pretty much every day.
So what made you... What was the key turning point with you dropping out of college? Like, was it a kind of a... Was there a defining moment? Was it something you kind of thought about for a long period of time? Like, what were you thinking? What got you to that point?
So the guy who got me into it, his name was Aaron. Aaron Baker. He's actually from this
area. Got you into what?
Into tech.
Into tech. Okay.
Like, I worked at Best Buy selling phones.
Right.
And he worked with Phone Dog, and they had a partnership with Best Buy Mobile at the time where he would come in, pick up some phones, and then they would give them away.
He just come pick up phones and leave?
Yeah. And that's what got me, I was like, what is that? I watched him walk in and he walked out with about 15 phones and never paid for anything. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. What? That kind of opened your, so you had never seen that whole
I didn't even know
partnership, like
online tech writing was a job.
Yeah.
And I just asked my boss at the time what that was, and he was like, oh yeah, he writes cell phone reviews. And I'm like, that's a thing? And I ended up tweeting him. I found him, I looked him up on Twitter, I sent him a tweet, and he came in a few days later and just, he almost grilled me on the spot. He bought a phone, but before he bought the phone, it was a BlackBerry, and that was kind of
BlackBerry,
a specialty.
Dude. Yeah.
I was a nerd over BlackBerry.
Really? BlackBerry
and
was the stuff, though.
My Twitter handle used to be BB Casper, so BB standing for BlackBerry.
Yeah. Okay, so you're all about it.
I was. Yeah. The reason I was in school was I wanted to be an engineer for Research in Motion, which was the parent company of BlackBerry.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, though, before you go into that. When he came in to grill you, like, do you know if he came in, like, planning to want to try to see what you got, if he wanted to ask you to... Right, or was it genuinely like he just grilling you to just grill you?
He came in wanting to buy a phone and...
Just curious of what your knowledge was, maybe?
Yeah, he was buying a phone for content, so they would do that a lot. When they couldn't get it from the company, they would come in and buy it, and they would review it and either return it or give it away or sell it.
Yeah.
And he came in to buy a new phone. It had just come out, and he just grilled me.
Wow.
And I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess it was about a week later he came in and offered me. It was a volunteer position. He asked if I would help.
Hmm.
And I said, sure. It was just moderating the forums on the website.
Yep.
And I said, I can do that. No problem. And a few weeks later, he asked me if I could write an article, a news article, because he didn't have time. And I said, I'm not a writer, but I'll try. And I did it. It took me way too long. It was no longer news at that point. and then he was like, hey, that was good. Do it again. And he said, just try to be faster.
Wow.
So
okay.
That just kind of developed into a position with the company. And it wasn't paying very well at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I ultimately, after doing it for about 2 months maybe and making nothing, I was writing like 10 articles a day.
Oh, my Lord.
And making like 500 a month on it.
Oh,
and I was like, I can't do
Lord.
This anymore. This is fun, but like,
yeah,
I got to make real money. And
you know what you're talking about. Like your time, I mean, your skill set, your knowledge is valuable too, you know?
Well, he said, well, you've become kind of valuable to what we do here.
Okay, so he did recognize that.
Yeah,
that's
and he
cool.
said, I can offer you a position. He told me what it paid, and he said, the only stipulation is that I need you. I don't need you divided between all of your jobs and school and everything. He said, I need 100% of you. And I was like, okay.
Sounds like a romance forming there.
Yeah. Well, we had a little bromance for a while. No, he was a good friend of mine after that. Like, we became friends, and it took me a long time to come to the decision to leave college, but the decision I made was, you know, this job isn't always going to be there. College
yeah.
will.
Yeah.
So I walked out, and one credit shy of an associate's degree, at least.
What?
I'm one credit shy, and I think it expires next month.
Dude,
like, your credits start expiring after 10 years.
You should just go finish.
No, then I can't say I'm a dropout.
That's true.
Why? It's
wow,
so much better.
Dude, Wow. So that's, I kind of like that though. Cause I mean, there are instances where people just, I'm just going to quit college, drop out. But like you thought about it and like you weighed the pros and cons.
I talked to family and yeah. friends for probably about 4 or 5 days straight.
Did they, where did they lie? Like, did you get a lot of hate for it? A lot of like, where were they standing?
A lot of people were like, you're never going to make money doing that.
Doing you're, what? What the
reviewing
whole
phones
reviewing.
Mm. and stuff. They said, you're never going to make money doing that. Stay in college.
Wow.
I remember my stepdad said that. A few other people did. My mom was like, you know what? I support you. You know,
yeah.
if it doesn't work out, you'll just go back to college.
So you had a parent-wise, you know, they had your back.
Yeah. Right,
they,
okay. And I knew that if it didn't work out, you know, I had
fall
a parachute.
Back. Yeah.
My stepdad owns a business. I worked there before.
Yeah.
I would not get my job back at Best Buy. That's for sure. but yeah, it ended up working out, and I stayed there for 2.5, almost 3 years, and
wow.
then I went to Pocket Now, left Pocket Now, and I worked at CNET for almost 3 years again.
Were you building up your own channel at this point on top of work? Because where was the, obviously, like, okay, you dropped out of college, you started working for these tech review companies on YouTube. Where was the, like, transition between leaving that stuff and then going into YouTube for yourself? Like, did you go straight from the tech companies and then full-time into YouTube, or like?
So I had, well, the idea for my YouTube channel came from an idea I had for Pocket Now for a video. I told them that I wanted to install a tablet in the dash of my car and make a video on it.
Wow.
And they said, not really our style. Nah.
So they turn you down.
Yeah. And I said, okay, do you mind if I start my own channel and just do stuff like that? And they said, whatever. So I did. And I called it Mod, which just was short for Modify.
Yeah.
And my roommate at the time and I just started doing a few videos.
Hmm.
He got a job at Apple, which pretty much barred him from doing anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And I just kind of ran with it. And when I left Pocket Now, ultimately, due to a lot of different circumstances.
We've talked about some of that, just some crap.
Extortion and some other stuff. Like, they're a good company. It's
yeah.
changed hands a few
okay.
times.
Right.
One of my very best friends in this world owned it, and he's the one that hired me.
Mm.
We're still super close, talk all the time.
That's awesome.
He sold it, and it went downhill from there, and
gotcha.
He bought it back.
Gotcha.
So
he's like, oh, that didn't work.
Yeah, he's it's changed hands a few times, and it's in a much better place now.
Right.
And I've worked for them since then, but I left and I had a non-compete. I couldn't go to any of their competitors.
Mm.
That was one of the things that I was not okay with. I actually vehemently was against it when I signed on. I said, it's me or the non-compete. They eventually threw it out. When he sold the company, the next company that rolled in renewed all of our contracts, and they all had a non-compete clause.
Wow.
I fought it for a long time, and they originally wanted 2 years. And I talked them down to 3 months, which I still think was ridiculous.
You shouldn't have a non-compete at all.
No, you shouldn't. It doesn't help anybody.
No.
And it's just a scare tactic.
Yeah.
And most companies won't even go after a non-compete.
Yeah, no.
You're okay from a non-compete. Most judges will throw them out if a company were to like go after you.
Yeah.
That's not true in every business, especially in different sectors.
But specifically,
where you're dealing with like really high, like critical knowledge for different
companies.
We're
talking about, you know, YouTube videos.
Yeah, we're talking about pretty general stuff. Yeah. So it would not hold up. But I respected it, and I stayed, you know, away from competitors. Well, at least publicly.
nice.
I was working for competitors kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I was making videos and just building up a queue of videos. And once that three-month date hit,
you were like, boom. Let's go.
Yeah. But yeah, that was when my channel started to flourish, is when I left Pocket Now. So I had my own channel, which was, at that time, I think it had like 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers.
Right. So you left Pocket Now with a couple thousand subs. You went and you did some work with other...
So I made a lot of contacts working in the tech field.
Right.
So I was looking for...
Networking, baby.
I was looking for tangential companies that I could work with. Mm-hmm. And Todoist was one of those, which is just a to-do app. Fantastic app. I even pay for premium now. I still use it.
I know what that is, yeah.
And they sponsored a lot of videos. They would pay me to talk about their product and...
Wow.
And that kind of got me by for a few months.
With only a couple thousand subs?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But they knew who I was.
Yes, yeah, so
I had rapport.
Were,
I had rapport. The channel was actually off to a pretty good start. I think I hit...
They got in with you early. That's
good. I think I hit 10,000 subs in like 3 months, maybe.
Gosh, guys. But I've been doing freaking YouTube for almost a year. I haven't even hit 1,000 yet.
But I also had like 15,000 Twitter followers and stuff just from being on YouTube before. So I already had that.
Well, it's cool that you built up all this experience. It's almost like it the worst case, you look at your job and it's like you're getting paid to like learn how to be a YouTuber in a sense. Like getting experience.
I mean, I was a YouTuber.
Well, yeah, but like you're getting paid during like your learning process of like refining your skills and stuff. And like even though like that might not have been the best scenario, like that's how my dad always looks at it. He would tell me like in certain jobs that I've had in the past, like, listen, like it might not be exactly what you want, or like you might not, you might want to make more, they might say this or that, but like you're getting, oh, you need a burp, dude, we can burp on the podcast. You know?
No, I'm clearing my throat.
Oh, okay.
I always have a dry throat.
Men.
That's why I have a gallon of water to myself.
But yeah, he was saying how you know, if anything, look at it as you're making a little bit of money to learn some new skills and learn something about a new company and whatever.
And that's true. I learned everything I know now from my job and really being in that sink or swim situation. So I worked with Todoist a lot and then joined Android Authority, which was just another competitor. I worked for
Android
them
Authority,
for a while.
Man, I watched them. I used to watch them all the time.
I worked for them for a while, left them and went.
Still building up your channel.
Yeah. So actually when I left Android Authority, I left because I was talking with a few other YouTube channels about working with them. But Brandon, the guy who owned Pocket Now, was looking for something else to do, and he asked what I was doing. Mod, I was still doing DIY projects.
Yep.
And he called me up one day just to talk to me about doing some videos, like some freelance videos in-house for a company he worked with. And I did those, and then he was asking what I was up to. I told him, he called me the next morning at like 6 a.m., and he's like, hey, I want you to move to Pennsylvania. I'm going to fund your YouTube channel, and I want to build a business based on it. And I'm like, one, no, I'm not moving to Pennsylvania.
Where were you at, like, subscriber-wise at this point?
Still around, like, 10,000 subs or so.
Gotcha.
I was living in my sister's basement with Alex.
Cool.
We were living in my sister's basement.
Dude, no shame, bro.
No, I quit my job. I didn't have any money. I had a non-compete. I couldn't get a job. So I moved in with my sister for a little bit. And
no shame, bro. Love it.
No, it was great. Honestly, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude.
But he was like, let's move you to Pennsylvania and we'll start this business. And I'm like, it's going to fail. Mm-hmm. There's no way, like, I've already gone through the math. I've tried to come up with a way that this would work before you ever mentioned this to me. It won't work. But he funded me, moved me to Pennsylvania. We tried that for about 5 months.
Didn't work.
And that's what got me by to the next thing. Like,
so it didn't work.
It did not work.
But you got paid.
I got paid. We learned from the mistakes we made,
okay.
which were
yeah.
plenty.
Yeah.
And then
so
I came
getting paid
back.
To learn what not to do. Love
yeah.
that.
And I was getting paid to do DIY projects. So I kind of became the DIY guy. This was before DIY was massive on YouTube.
Oh,
so
wow.
there are some channels. To Make Stuff is a big DIY channel now.
Mm-hmm.
And Make Something, who was called the Drunken Woodworker before.
Wow.
They were both at like 50, 60,000 subscribers at the time.
That's crazy.
And I, at that point, had grown to maybe 30,000, maybe 40,000. And so I was kind of in early
yeah.
for the DIY stuff. So I kind of made
you're
a
like
name
a pioneer for, in that space.
I wouldn't call it a pioneer because there was also not Jerry Rig Everything. I can't remember the guy's name. He's got a few million subs and just does DIY projects. There's a lot now.
Yeah, yeah. It's mainstream.
Like I Like to Make Stuff has a couple million and Make Something has several hundred thousand. So it's changed.
Yeah, yeah, for
but
sure.
But when we decided to shut down the business we were making or trying to build, a friend of mine reached out and he's like, hey, you're into DIY projects? I'm like, yeah, I'm also out of a job. He said, well, CNET, he worked at CNET. He said, well, CNET's looking for a how-to guy. And I was like, okay.
Hey.
So I applied the next morning. And I got a call 20 minutes later.
Wow.
And they were like, hey, do you want the job? I said, yeah. And they're like, it's yours. I'm like, okay.
That's it.
I got a job. We moved from Pennsylvania. This was the same day I moved home. We moved from Pennsylvania, or it was the next morning after we got moved in. So we moved down. We got an apartment knowing that I didn't have a job. So we used all of my past income and just got into an apartment, which we should not have gotten into. It was like $1,400 a month rent.
Wow.
And I had no job.
That was risky.
It was a big risk, but I was like, you know what? I'll figure this out. And then that's kind of how I always work on things. I'm like, I'll figure it out.
You're the type of person, and I am too. We're the type of people that, and I heard this on another podcast, actually, Bigger Pockets. It's like a real estate podcast, but we're the type of people that you're in a plane and you jump out of the plane. And you build your parachute on the way down.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's not necessary. That sometimes that can work and sometimes it can't. But majority of the time, if you know how to build a parachute, yeah, you'll figure it out. If you got the drive, if you have the determination.
I know how to make a hammock out of Tyvek. So
hey, there you go.
That's close enough, right?
There you
That'll
go.
Work as a parachute.
Wow. So okay, so you moved back home. You got the job with CNET.
Yeah. So moved into an apartment that I shouldn't have been able to get or could not afford, and the next morning I had a job.
Okay.
And I started, I think, 1 week later. And I'm like,
and that was your basically that was your last job up until
I quit
a year ago
and started working for myself. Yeah. And in the entire time I was still making mod videos, but what killed that channel ultimately was getting the job with CNET. Because I went from making my own DIY projects and doing what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I joined with them, and they had a first right to refusal for anything I came up with. That was in the contract. So if I came up with a DIY project, I had to run it by them. And if they said no, then I could make the video myself. But that was like a litmus test.
Yeah.
It was like, if they don't want it, why would I make the video?
Yeah,
right?
Because they're big. They got a lot of... they know what's going on in the market.
So if they don't want it, it tells me that I shouldn't want it. So I was just like, okay, I just can't do DIY projects for myself anymore. So I did DIY projects for CNET and different things. I was mostly how-to, like smart home stuff. So your Alexa speakers, Google Home, smart locks. I was the guy that was doing all the how-to articles for that.
But did you have your, like your current, so, for those of you who don't know, he has the new channel now, Best MEDC. You've had that one for about a year now. Did you start that while you're still at CNET? Or you basically left? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, so I started that while I was still at CNET. So with Mod... Since I couldn't do DIY projects, I had to pivot.
Yeah.
So they said, we don't care if you cover tech. They said, your right first right to refusal is DIY. So I started doing some tech on the channel. And people at that point had only been following for DIY projects.
Okay.
So I started covering some tech stuff. I got into coffee really big while I was in Pennsylvania. So I did some coffee videos, and I built a PC, and I started live streaming games. I just started...
You started taking shots in the dark.
Yeah, I didn't know where to go with it because I couldn't do DIY, which is what the whole channel had been about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really just the nail in the coffin. And I had gone back to some EDC videos.
Okay.
So I started a show called the EDC Weekly. And one of my first videos on mod was my everyday carry. Because it being in tech, we had always done bag dumps. What's in my bag?
Yeah.
And I had, through that, I had learned about everyday carry. So I did an everyday carry. And it did really well. Got several hundred thousand views. And I actually got contacted by Playboy. Wow. I was in a Playboy video about everyday carry. And it was just, it was weird. But I wasn't really into EDC or anything. It was just a tech thing.
Yeah.
Because they're very closely related. Mm-hmm. So I'd done that. But after that, for some reason on Twitter, I just constantly got tweets about this is my everyday carry. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like,
nice.
I don't know what you want me to do with that, but cool. And it just happened more and more
Blessing in disguise, buddy.
So when I moved back and I was trying to figure out what to do with the channel, I got the bright idea to start a weekly series, which was called the EDC Weekly, and I would take those submissions that people had sent to me, and I would just feature them in a video.
Talk about it.
And it was an immediate success, and I was like, okay, this is what I do. And
wow,
I did it for 26 weeks straight, and it was grueling. It was a huge production. It was a lot to make
CNET. I've helped him film a couple of them, and like the preparation involved. And the time to edit and stuff, like, he puts a lot of work into those videos, a lot.
So, one of the stipulations with CNET was that I had to have other jobs to prove that I was a contract worker.
Yeah.
So, I worked with an energy company in the area. I worked with CNET. I had about two or three other clients I worked with, like Men's Health and House Beautiful. And just any job that I could find, I would do just to be able to keep my CNET job.
Mm-hmm.
While also juggling the YouTube channel and the weekly show. And it just got to be so much. I was putting most of my week into making that one video every week.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I believe it.
And they were doing okay. They were doing better than anything else on the channel, but it was just too much. So I stopped it. And that was about the time the channel just died.
Gotcha.
And right after that, YouTube was like, hey, we chose your channel to be in the YouTube Next Up program. I'm like, great, cool.
Nice.
So they flew me to New York and put me through production classes and just taught us all these things. And they helped us try to figure out what we wanted to do with our channels.
They kind of gave you some direction to help you like find what it is you want and to or should be.
I was a little embarrassed of the EDC stuff because not many people knew what it was. And it was kind of weird. It was hard to explain.
Dude, you're kind of a pioneer in that space a little bit, wouldn't you say?
On YouTube, for sure. Yeah. And it was weird to explain to people, and I was a little embarrassed about it because everybody else at Next Up, there were 17 other people or 16 other people or 17 total. You know, there was a travel guy and there was a cooking show and there was all sorts of stuff that was like
tried and true stuff.
Very broad spectrum. Like, people know about all this stuff. So when I'm trying to explain everyday carry, they're like,
when I found out,
for grown men. And I'm like, yeah.
I mean, even now, 2019, like, I'd never heard of EDC, like that term ever. Now
it's kind of like electronic daisy carnival. That's what everybody thinks it is.
No, I didn't think that either. But
so when they started asking me, I was a little embarrassed, and they said, so if you could make your channel about anything, what would it be? And at this point, I'm super burned out on tech. I hate tech now. Yeah. Like, I have an iPad and I can geek out over cameras, but as far as like, I used to review every phone that came out and it just wore me down. I don't care for tech that much anymore. Yeah. And I can get jazzed on it, but it's short-lived. Mm-hmm. Like, I get a new phone, I'm like, cool, this is great. And then, like, 3 days later, I'm like, okay, it's a phone. So they said, what would you rather do? If you could do anything on YouTube, what would it be? And I said, I'd have an outdoor channel where I go camping and travel. And that's why I rebranded the channel to Modern Outdoor Dweller. And I started making outdoor videos and just put everything into that. My eggs into that basket.
Okay.
Because I kept the original name, Modern Outdoor Dweller. I did that on purpose.
Okay.
And
that was clever.
And I just
rebranded, you didn't change the channel. You didn't actually create any channel, you just rebranded
it. Created a new logo, kept the same name, and just changed the meaning of the name. And
cool.
At that point, I had had an audience for DIY, an audience for EDC, an audience for coffee, an audience for tech, and then an audience for outdoor. And I could not please anybody. No one. Like, I would make a video and I would lose 100 subs or 1,000 subs with every upload. And I was just like, what in the world do I do?
Yeah.
At this point, the channel was at 80-some thousand subscribers. And the harder I tried, the less everything worked. I would spend hours and hours on a video for it to get more dislikes than likes, lose hundreds of subscribers, and I'm just like, what are you doing?
That hurts, too, when you're putting in all these hours or something, too.
Like, I was finally doing something I was super passionate about. Like, I love camping in the outdoors. I haven't been in 18 months, but...
Hey, that's going to change.
But that was something I was truly passionate about. Love it. And, yeah, every time I tried harder or something new, nothing would work. I put, like, $20,000 into, like, outdoor equipment. I bought the travel trailer, the camping trailer. I bought, like, an actual camper.
Wow.
I bought a bunch of stuff to just go. Like, I was sure this was the thing. And it wasn't working, and I was killing myself.
And you had guidance from YouTube, too. You know,
yeah, like. And I was killing myself. I was working with Men's Health, House Beautiful, CNET, Duke Energy, and running a YouTube channel every week. And I was, Alex was like, I don't ever see you. And the harder
starting
you
to
try.
Kinda, was it starting to affect your relationship a little bit?
It was affecting us because she never saw me. Like, we lived together and we didn't see each other.
Wow.
And she was like, look, you're spending every ounce of free time on this and it's not going anywhere. She said, the harder you try, the less it works. And she gave me an ultimatum. She was like, it's me or this. Like,
I kind of love though how she was kind of the spokesperson for that. Like, listen, babe, like it's like, hey, it's not working. And almost like, but not, I feel like,
She was more worried about me and my sanity.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like she wasn't like negative about the fact that you're doing it. She's just like, hey, like it's not working. Maybe we're going to have to try something else.
And she did. She gave me an ultimatum and she said, you got to stop. Like, it's me or this. And I said, okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. I said, give me 1 month to figure it out. And if I can't figure it out, I'm done. I'll walk away. I'll just do my day job and just move on. And I had a couple friends that I went to talk to. They were helping me. Like, one guy worked for a branding agency. And I just sat down with them one afternoon. I drove like an hour to go see them. Sat down with them. Had dinner. And they said, you know, we were looking through your channel, and the only thing that ever really, truly worked was EDC. That's it. All your EDC stuff. All those DIY projects I did in the very beginning, I didn't even realize they were all like EDC projects. They were keychain clips and wallets. And just, they were all EDC.
You never knew.
And it was right there in front of me. And I was like, it was just like light bulb moment. Oh my God, what have I been doing this entire time? It's been right there. And I immediately went home and I just became obsessed. Like, I Googled and Googled and Googled and looked for anything and everything ever to carry. And I'm like, there is nothing on YouTube about this. Like, nothing.
And so everybody's coming to you because you're the only major YouTube EDC
source. So there are knife reviewers. There are guys that'll review wallets. There are guys that'll kind of touch on it.
Yeah,
but there is nobody that focuses on all of it now. It's still just me.
Wow.
So I decided to, what I decided to do originally was just relaunch the series on the channel.
Yep.
Because I had 87,000 subs. I was like, you know, why start over?
Yeah.
Let's just pick up where I left off. And I did one video and it got 100,000 views. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this right. I don't want to just continue with this. This channel has been through too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I decided it's time to start from scratch. And build. I didn't want an audience that was so diversified, you know. While I had 87,000 subs, there were probably only maybe 20 or 30,000 that were there for EDC.
Yeah.
Maybe, if even that. So when I would go to an advertiser, they'd see 87,000, but they wouldn't get what they were hoping for out of it.
Yeah, you're setting unrealistic expectations.
And I didn't want that. I didn't want to go to a brand and put a bad taste in their mouth. So I decided, let's start from scratch. I'm going to do it just all over, and I want a highly dedicated audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have that now.
You do.
90.
Look at the look
90,361.
He's got this cool little, little, what is that thing called? It's like a subscriber counter.
La metric clock.
Okay.
So it's a clock with like widgets and apps that you can add
to it. So cool. Yeah, you're 90,000.
Oh, almost one.
Oh.
It just went down by one.
Did it really?
Yeah.
It usually goes up.
Yeah. It's okay.
Dang, dude.
It's okay. Wow. I always gain more than I lose.
Yeah, you do. Like, it's so funny because, like, okay, and that's one thing, even in this conversation, that's one thing I know that I've got to do. Like, if I'm going to be successful on YouTube, I've got to focus in on one thing.
You've got to be different.
Yeah.
You have to give people a reason to want to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be consistent. Those are the three things that really, mm-hmm. really, like, you want to build a connection, right? Yeah. If you're just a guy with a camera, you know, there are millions of guys with cameras.
Yeah.
I mean, is it? How many minutes of footage is uploaded every minute?
Oh, Lord.
Or how many hours of footage is uploaded every minute? I don't remember what it is.
It's crazy.
It's some crazy number. So you got to think you're competing with all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing, like, in the future, like, I know, like, I have something special in terms of, like me. It's just a matter of honing
you're
in.
You're something special, that's yeah. for sure.
It's just a matter of honing in on how I'm going to package that. But it's definitely worked. I mean, you're almost 100K. You've been doing it for a year. Like, you're
11 months and 1 week.
Wow. That's insane, dude. Yeah. And it's so cool that...
Not 11, 12, 13 months. So it's over a year. I started...
Still.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's just so cool to see the progression and, like, really... I think, like, the big thing I take away from this is, dude, yes, like, the consistency. Because just looking back how you started and, like, never despise, talks about it in the Bible, don't despise small beginnings. Like, the stuff that you did, like, you never know. Like, just that one connection with the dude in Best Buy led to this, which led to that, and literally, like, you're here now. We're in your studio about to record four videos. Oh my gosh, what's
at 10:30 at night?
Oh my Lord. Okay, we've got to end this podcast. Holy crap.
And we're over 30 minutes.
And are we really?
Yeah, my chronograph.
Wow. Okay, guys. Well, so much for that. When you have such a good story, you can't cut it short.
Well, I can talk for days too.
But no, I really think you laid an awesome blueprint for, like, what hard work and dedication looks like in the content creator space.
Yeah, see, a lot of people, especially now that I've started this new channel and it's coming up on 100,000 subs, a lot of people discredited, or not discredited, I would say they credited everything that I've done on me working for CNET or having this online presence already.
Yeah.
But it's less about that and more about I've done all of this before.
Yeah.
I've done this for channels with 3 million subscribers. I've done this with channels that have been around for ages.
You know
I've
what
seen...
works.
Every single piece of YouTube inside and out. I've talked to YouTube directly. I've worked with them. Like, I've been around. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. And I'm just experienced at it. But at the same time, they're not looking at the fact that I've been trying to work for myself and running a YouTube channel for 6+ years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two now.
They
two
just
channels.
See, they see how long your channel's been there and then they see 100,000 subs and they're like, what, like, yeah, you have so much experience and knowledge and just connections and a lot of stuff behind you, a lot of work and hours and just, like, just blood, sweat, and tears you put in. People don't see that. And that's one thing that, you know, when I see a creator like yourself that's where you are now, like, I understand that and I, like, value that and I respect that grind. So, like, to everybody out there listening, it's like, holy crap, you got 100,000 subs in a year. Like, yes, but... there's a whole lot more to it than that. And I just think you painted a really cool picture.
It also helps that I went full time.
Yeah.
Big help. So I went full time way, way, way early.
Yeah.
So since Alex had given me that ultimatum, once I started this channel, I said, once I've earned X dollars in 1 month from this channel, I'm quitting CNET. I'm quitting my day job.
And how long until you... earned X amount? I don't know if you want to talk numbers.
I think the value I set was $3,000.
A month
on YouTube.
Okay.
Which was not really enough for us to live off of.
Yeah.
Like it was, but I mean,
you're cutting it close, dude.
It is because you're also, you're 1099. So that $3,000 is not considering taxes or anything. And my taxes are high. Like,
yeah,
it was a low number, but it was enough of a proof of concept to know that if I put 100% of my time into it, that I could make it grow even
starting that channel, how many months in you say it was?
3 months.
3 months.
I had 30,000 subs.
You got 10,000 subs a month.
Yeah.
Basically.
And wow. I went full time.
Wow. You went full time at YouTube at 30,000 subscribers.
Yeah. And it was crazy. Like, I put in my notice with CNET. So it was actually 4 months, I guess.
Whatever.
Like, I made the decision at 3 months.
That's going to be the title probably is like... going full time on YouTube at 30,000 subs, something like that.
Which is, it's crazy, and it's been a serious hustle ever since. Like, which, I don't have a day off really.
I mean, like, a ding. Do you feel like that's still like possible, or because do you still make that much with YouTube? I thought they kind of like cut a lot of the.
Okay, so that wasn't just on YouTube.
That was affiliate links.
That was affiliates and YouTube sponsorships. So that was just everything together.
Yeah. Once you hit that,
but actually. So my CPM was actually way higher on YouTube then. I was making like $8 or $9 per 1,000 views.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which the average is like 3.
Yeah, I was thinking 3 or 4.
So I was making a lot more.
How did your average go up so much? Just
I don't know. It just did. And then the scary thing was right after I made that decision and went full time, it dropped to like 5.
Wow.
But it's okay because what happened. The funny thing is, like, the day I decided was the day that Alex told me she was pregnant.
Really?
And I was like, you know what? I'm doing it anyway. I don't care.
Holy
and she
crap.
She said, you've got 9 months to make it work. I'm like,
let's
right.
go, girl.
All right. So, and it's been 3 months today since my daughter was born. And
that's crazy, dude.
And I'm making more money now than when I worked at CNET.
See, so, that I... That hypes me up. Oh, my gosh.
But it's been
yeah.
hard. And a lot of people see that I make 2 videos a week. And
yeah.
They're like, oh, you got it easy. You work 2 days a week. But I work usually 6 days a week. I'm here until 2 a.m. a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I work until 2 a.m. most days.
Yeah. His schedule's kind of flopped. Like, it's funny. I'll be in the coffee shop in the morning. He'll, like, walk in, like, 10 a.m. just, like... Yeah, I've been up all night, like, editing.
Yeah, I just...
It's a life.
I work until I get it done, and then I go to bed. Yeah. And it makes it tough, because I don't always see my daughter as much as I'd like. Mm-hmm. But also,
but
like...
still, you got some flexibility, too.
We've got... There's a lot on the line now, you know? I've got a daughter, and I've got a family to support. So, I have the motivation to keep going and work harder and make more money.
Yeah.
So that we can have... Mm-hmm. A good life.
And what's
that's, what it's, that's what it's all about.
And what's so cool is now you're building this audience and platform. Now you can leverage that because, for example, you know, I'm going to plug your Carry Commission. You know, you launched a store, Carry Commission, right? He's got an e-commerce store where he sells like EDC products. Super clean website. Definitely go check it out. I'll try to link it in the description if I remember. but like you can launch that and you've got this audience base and then like, It becomes easier and easier to grow and make more money as you get bigger and bigger.
It does. And just for, I mean, to be completely candid, like, Carry Commission has been around for about a month, maybe a little longer than a month now.
Just launched it.
And it's done over $10,000 in revenue.
That's,
I mean, that's
see,
not
that's
profit.
Crazy. Yeah, but still, but that much cash flow has come through your store already in 1 month.
Yeah.
And you haven't pushed that hard.
I have not pushed hard at all. And the problem is the reason I haven't sold more is I'm out of everything.
You sold out.
I have one product left in stock. And then shirts. The shirts don't run out because they're print to order. But
dude, see, that's amazing, man. I'm so excited to see this. I mean, that's the thing, Taylor. And it's cool that I'm like getting to know you now before you really blow up. Because then like,
I mean, assuming I will.
No, you will. Like, he's going to blow
up.
Could
plateau. I have plateaued before on YouTube.
Well, you might plateau, but it's still going to be a upwards growth. And I'm just excited. And again, I think you're getting to that point where you're going to be YouTube proof. Like you're not just relying on solely YouTube ads. Like you've got a lot of other things.
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing is diversifying because YouTube at any moment could say that, hey, knives are not advertiser friendly and I'd be done.
Yeah. Like violent. Ooh, like whatever.
Yeah. I'd be done because they did it to guns a few years ago.
Wow. See, yeah. That's cool though that you're taking precautions. A lot of people are like, I hate when people are just like content creators. Like, if you're a YouTuber, that's not a steady like source of income. Like, but most YouTubers getting into your caliber, they don't make money just from YouTube. They got so many other things going on.
Well, a lot of them, if they're smart and they do it the right way, you're making money elsewhere too. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why one reason I do a lot of sponsored videos is because, well, one, YouTube's ad rate is horrible
now. It's crap now. Yeah.
I mean, compared to what it was back when I started with Pocket Now, it's less than half what it was.
It's crazy.
So that just means you have to make twice as many views to make the same money. And it's harder and harder to make that kind of view count because there are more and more channels and you're competing for eyes. Yeah. So it's getting way harder for people. Like, it's easier and easier to make a YouTube channel and make content.
Yes.
And grow a small audience. It's harder and harder to break through.
Yeah.
So you have tens of thousands of channels under probably hundreds of thousands of channels under 100,000 subscribers. And it used to be a very rare thing to get a 1 million sub play button,
right?
The 100,000 play button is everybody's got one now.
Yeah, I got
a million.
One.
A million used to be really a super goal. Like,
but people
to hit a million was just crazy, and to hit 10 million was just extremely rare. Like, there were a handful of people with 10 million subs, like maybe three or four. When I started this, I think there were maybe two even, if that, like Tyler Oakley and maybe PewDiePie.
Yeah, that's all I could think of.
And then now there are 50 plus, 100 plus people with 10 million.
Lot.
It's massive.
It's flooded. It's definitely crowded.
And they're going to have to roll out a play button for like 100 million soon.
Yeah, that's true. There's some people with some crazy
T-Series and PewDiePie are 90-some million, I think.
Yeah, they'll hit 100 million soon.
It was something like that. I don't know. What is PewDiePie at?
Look it up.
Well, T-Series is bigger now, right?
Where's YouTube? That's stupid. Isn't it something in India?
It's
where
a
like
big conglomerate, so it doesn't really... I mean, it counts, but it doesn't count.
So funny. Jaden like, was like, 30 minutes max.
Let's look at PewDiePie, because he matters more.
Mm-hmm.
He has 98 million.
Let's go!
Oh my God.
PewDiePie! Oh, and all he does is reacts to memes. God.
T-Series. Let's see. T-Series. PewDiePie comes up when you search T-Series?
Yes! Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's
T-Series is at 107 million.
Okay. Wow.
That is hilarious. If you search T-Series, PewDiePie comes up first.
First thing?
Yes.
I wonder how
T-Series is way down here.
Wow. Okay, PewDiePie.
That's amazing. But yeah, that's unreal. So to break out is harder and harder and harder. Because, people are already occupied with a lot of creators and a lot of content. Yeah. So
it's
you've
got
to do something different.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I always looked for that. There was nothing really outdoors.
Yeah.
There were fishing channels, but there was nothing for camping or anything like that. Now you have Last Line of Defense. Mike's a great guy. He's crushing it. But even he and like Expedition Overland, they're kind of like the lone runners out there for outdoor content.
That's crazy.
So there are survivalists, but I'm talking about for the everyman. The weekend warrior that just wants to go camping with their kids, you know?
Yeah.
There's not a lot for that. And I tried and failed hard. But I looked for that gap. I've always looked for gaps that I could fill.
I think you found one.
Well, it kind of smacked me in the face before I found it, you know?
Yeah.
But I found it. I looked so hard, I was missing the one thing that was always there right in front of me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I think this is really going to resonate with a lot of people. And again, this whole podcast is about new mindset, new perspective. We've gone way over, but I really feel like this is a super valuable episode. And that's one thing that I'm going to be doing. Like, I'm going to be kind of going and thinking a lot in the next couple of months. I'm getting my real estate license.
Yeah, you told me.
So I'm going to be having to dial back on everything. And I hate doing that. I'm so about consistency too, but I think that it's going to be good because I'm going to be able to kind of reevaluate. And Taylor and I've been talking off the record about just direction and stuff and kind of like what I'm wanting to do. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I think that you really have set an awesome, like, awesome expectation and standard for, like, what it really takes to do content creating right. And I'm looking forward to hearing people's responses about it. So,
yeah.
Well, and I think your people, if your people listen to this, like, I feel like since your channel is so niche, you haven't, I mean, you've never probably done like a video dedicated to this, like your story, have you? Like,
no, I touch on it. I do like the Cliff Notes version in the Q&A videos.
Okay. Yeah. Cause yeah.
Everybody kind of asks how I got started. I don't think any of them really expect the crazy winding road that it is.
That's what I'm saying. That's so freaking cool. And that's motivating. And I'm just saying this is a solid podcast. So I know we said we were going to try to stay in 30 minutes. Sorry. We're both long winded. We've got to freaking...
We have four videos to shoot, and it's almost 11. Yeah. But I do want to leave you with one parting note.
Okay.
Because I get this question all of the time. Mm-hmm. And this is not to discourage anybody. It is to discourage people who just want a quick buck or want to just pursue something that seems easy.
Yeah.
The question I always get is, how should I start my channel? Or what should I do to start my channel? What are any tips you can give me? And my answer, no joke, is always don't.
Yep.
Don't do it. Don't do it. It is not fun. A lot of the time, it is not fun. I work an insane amount. And a lot of the time, for very little reward. Like, mm-hmm. I'll put sometimes 20 plus hours into a video and make like $50.
Or just tank.
Yeah. Yep. And people hate it. So, it's not easy. If you do make it, it can be a lot of fun. But it's still always going to be a lot of work. You are your product. So, you don't have time off. Mm-mm. But with that said, if you do make one, do not go into it with the expectation of making money.
Absolutely.
Because that is the biggest,
biggest
just pipe dream. It's, if you can, awesome, great. Once you do, work it. Figure out how to make more. Dude, but don't go into it,
it has to be
with
passion,
that expectation.
Man.
Yeah, that is do not something a good you're passionate
business
about.
Model. YouTube is not a good business model. Don't. Yeah.
It is if you can break out. But
I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to make money, and this is what I've always said, that's a really good thing to end on, because what I've always said is I used to think, like, I want to pursue my passions, and I'm just going to make a living off my passions. That will happen, but in the meantime, I don't want my passions to be what I rely on for money, because they'll fizzle out.
You turn your hobbies and passions into a job, and you will learn to resent it a lot of the time.
Yep. That's a really good way to put it.
Because I loved tech. I loved it more than just about anybody. And now I resent it. I hate it. And I don't think that'll happen with knives and wallets and watches, because even as a kid, I was super into that stuff. Always.
But you're doing it on your terms,
I'm doing it on my terms.
That's a big difference.
It is a massive difference, but it's also something that I've always loved. Mm-hmm. Whereas tech, I learned to love it.
Right.
That was the big difference.
Yeah.
But just to put things into perspective, so Modern Outdoor Dweller has 87,000 subs. Mm-hmm. It's got 8, 9, maybe 10 million views. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I worked at that for 6 years.
Dang.
Any second of free time for 6 years.
Dang.
And it made like $1,200.
Are you serious?
At most, maybe 2,000. I haven't looked in a long time.
Okay.
But that's it. That's all the money it made.
And then now...
That is thousands of hours of work.
Yeah, literally.
Thousands. Literally. I was making pennies per hour.
Yeah. Not so a that good is, business model unless you break out.
And I spent months and months and months pursuing sponsorships with that one, and I never got one. I didn't get
and
one.
And now sponsorships are coming to you.
A lot of them are. Yeah. It's good. It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
I'm proud of you, dude.
Thanks.
Proud of you. Give me a fist bump. If we were
I got short arms.
If we were filming this. I kind of wish I filmed this, but whatever.
Video podcasts are more interactive.
Yeah, they are. We started filming Two Straight Men. First episode releases Friday, 10 a.m.
It's
second episode. When this comes out, it'll be second episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
We're recording ahead, guys.
Good on you. That's hard to do.
Taylor records really far ahead.
So I'm shooting four videos.
Oh yeah, so we're gonna get to that. I think we've tried to like segue out to an outro for like half an hour, but you know, just good stuff. Taylor, give us the word of the week.
The word of the week?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Just like, give us a, what are you thinking? What's on your heart? Just something. Wise words.
When in doubt, work harder.
Like it. So I'm starting to do a call to action. That's okay. Another thing. So when I have guests on, I want you to give the audience some type of like call to action that has to do with what we talked about. Like, it doesn't have to be about YouTube, but just something that you want to, I want everybody to be engaged. So like, what is the call to action? You know, you say, hey, everybody, like and subscribe. Well, this is like the version of like and subscribe for the podcast. Like, okay. Call to action.
Well, if you enjoyed what you heard here, share this with somebody.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Or I'll give you a second one. Okay. Two call to action. The second one, if you see a video you like on YouTube, like it and share it. And that's not to bump likes. That's to help that creator out. Because trust me, we can all use all the help we can get.
That's solid, man. I like that. It's supporting the creators.
Yeah. It's not about me. Yeah. It's about
the
platform as a whole.
That's cool. So, yes, share this podcast with somebody that you think could benefit from it. And whenever you're out there, if you consume content that you enjoy, share it, support it, show it some love. That's all I've got. You got anything else?
That's it, man.
All right, let's grind out these videos, dude.
Oh, boy.
All right, we'll see you next time, guys. Peace.